Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh. Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
Well, good morning. It is Tuesday. It is The Drive with Say and Piper. I am Lance, Derek Piper to my left, Isaac Ambrose walking around doing the walk-around chat on the phone thing. And he's talking to Trevor Valise. Trevor just can't get away from us. Can't do it. I had to give him a rude remark yesterday when he texted you and I during the show on how it's going, and I just kind of
don't be
him.
Too mean to him, because we might need him.
Yeah, that's true. You know? That's true, and I think he's helping Isaac with something now, but Isaac is jumping right in, man. We're doing some things. Illinois football will be coming up. We're going to be doing live shows at Pia's once a month during the football season, and as mentioned yesterday, the very first show will be on the 26th, one day before the Wyoming kickoff, week zero kickoff. And Josh Whitman will be joining us that day. I'm excited for that. So you and Isaac and I today were texting back and forth saying, let's figure out some cool guests to get when it comes to Illinois football, and maybe even get a little Illinois basketball in there, possibly, and talk with some people as we get ready for Illinois football. All right, I'm going to start with basketball today. I mean, if you don't know this guy, then obviously you're not an Illini fan, or you don't know college
hoops.
There
aren't any that exist.
I was going to say.
Nobody exists out
there. Is there anybody in the world that doesn't know D. Brown, who joins us now? What's up, D?
Man, how you guys doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You are now a head coach. What is the biggest difference between an assistant and a head coach?
Responsibility, you know, the chair, you know, everybody wants the chair until you get there, but it's a lot of responsibility. Everything falls on you. Everything goes to you. So it's been great, though, man. I love it. You know, I just think as an assistant, you got to learn, you know, you got to be a great follower. You know, and that's one thing I prided myself in when I was an assistant, just being a great follower and someone who supported the head coach. Now, you know, you just switch roles and, you know, you got to be the leader of the program. So it's been fun, man. I'm excited. Still excited. I still haven't got, you know, that feeling of just every day walking into the building makes me feel real, real good and just blessed.
I bet. D. Brown, our guest, Roosevelt University. You mentioned that about being the head coach and the responsibilities, also the hours, right? I mean, or I know the assistants, and I know as you've been an assistant, you put in a lot of hours. Is it even more as a head coach, or is it pretty even?
No, ain't no time limit on it, man. You know, I've been trained to. You know, even as a basketball player, some guys, when you're a player, work harder than others, put in more time than others. It's the same thing when you get into coaching. More guys, you know, they known as grinders in this profession. It's the guys who put in time. There's no time limit. You're always working. Work needs to be done. And some guys, you know, they got a great balance. So to each his own. For me, I was taught by the greats, you know, to work. And I'm a worker, so work never stops for me.
D, my last question before Pipes takes over here. I mean, is it fair to your players, because you were a guy that never left? I mean, you wanted to work nonstop, and it showed on the court. It showed in the success that you had not only in college but in the pros, et cetera. I mean, is it fair to your players to expect what you did that they would do?
You know, first of all, I was, you know, always dissected. I was always told what I couldn't do. So when you first, you know, going to, oh, he's too small, can't do X, Y, Z, can't do this. So the work spoke for itself. You know, the results came because I worked. So you just got to recruit and get the guys who really love the game, who are passionate, who want to put in the work. It was never talent with me. Yeah, I was, you know, I thought I was a good player, but I just thought the work stood out and made me, you know, made me confident in myself, confident in my abilities. But so they just come in with the work mentality. They got to be workers. They got to love the game, and those who love the game, when they put in the time, no matter where they come from, what background they come from, or what they did in high school, it all disappeared on any level. So they got to understand coming in, they must work on their game. They must put in the time on their bodies. And sometimes that don't take talent. It just take a mentality and take them to want to get better and want to develop.
D, you were announced as the head man late June. So what have the next 5-6 weeks since then been like for you? How much you've gotten to be around the current team? And what have been those initial steps as you settled into this job?
Yeah, I'm just trying to change the culture a little bit. I think, in the summers, it's not mandatory that they get in and work on their games. Like on the Division I level, they got 8 weeks, sometimes 12 weeks to be in the summer and be with their coaches. Our guys, probably they got jobs. I'm going to say probably they got jobs and they're doing other things in the summer to save their money for when they come back to campus. But I had workouts. Guys got in, voluntarily. They got in with me, got individuals, got in with a couple groups here and there. But just trying to get my roster together, trying to get my feet under me as far as what I'm going to do on a day-to-day, even getting my staff together. So it's been getting my staff, getting to know my players. On a Division I level, you have, 13 guys on the roster. Here I got 30. You know what I'm saying? I got a junior varsity. I got a varsity team that I'm responsible of. So just getting my roster, getting my staff, and just being in the office, understanding, just being organized. So when the time comes, I know exactly what we're going to be doing.
Do you obviously have a brand and a respect that comes with you, what you did as a player, and then now establishing yourself in college coaching as well? What's important as you brand Roosevelt University basketball, and how do you expect to make that translate to recruiting and being able to pull in the type of players that are going to help you win?
Man, culture. The players that help you win is who fit your personality. Every coach around the country has a style of play that they want to play. They have a personality of who they're made up of. When you watch me play, definitely I was tough. I worked hard. So my objective is to go get those same players who love the game, who work really hard, and are tough, and from tough backgrounds. So for me, just building that culture. Everybody say, what's their culture? What's their identity? What they want to be known for. Who I was as a player. That's who I'm going to be as a coach as well. Someone who works his tail off and want to be around people who are, tough-minded, mentally tough, and they love the game of basketball.
Are we going to see many headbands and high socks? Is that part of the dress code for Roosevelt University?
Hey, nowadays, all these kids got these hairstyles, the braids, and they wear different type of hairstyles and headbands and accessories. For me, I like where the game is going. I like the style. I like the swagger. I like the uniforms. I like where the game is going. And these guys are a lot more skilled, a lot more understanding of brand. They can brand themselves and make money off themselves. So I like where the game is going. And I have you come to the court, come. I only tell this to young hoopers, man. Come every day how you want to be. Don't one day I'm going to wear a headband. One day I'm going to be this way. Won't be, man. Be who you are every single day, and I respect it.
I love it. Great advice. D. Brown, head coach, Roosevelt University. You know him. I don't have to go any further. D, if there would have been NIL when you were around, I don't know that anybody ever at the University of Illinois would have made as much as you, and I probably would put you on a national level of making money in the NIL. Obviously, you missed that little window, but is that similar to where you're at Roosevelt? Are they able to do that? And what do you think in general of college basketball and what's going on with not only the NIL but also the transfer portal? Are you in favor of that?
Definitely in favor of guys making money. I'm happy that they're able to make money for themselves. Most guys would be like you. There's no envy. There's no jealousy. I'm happy these guys can make money.
Sure.
When I was in school, would I make money? Absolutely. But it probably would have distracted me from doing what was more important. I was winning and getting a college degree. Those were my two things, of trying to win a national championship and leave the University of Illinois with a degree. And that was my focus. That was my priority. So I don't know how I would have been in that climate of traveling all over the place and doing all these things just to, get all the money. But again, it would have been awesome to, that was my prime years of making money. But
yeah.
I'm happy that these guys can make money. But I would tell them, my advice is the product is the product. When I was at University of Illinois, we won games. And when you win, people want to associate themselves with winners. So in the country nowadays, everybody wants this money and want to do this. But my advice to them is to get banners. Chase it, leave a legacy. Degrees, banners is what's going to allow you to get money. And to answer your question about the portal, man, that's you got to adjust with the times.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
everybody want to, when things get go bad, they want to jump ship and think the grass is green on the other side. It's a process of waiting your turn. It's a process of learning how to become a better teammate. It's always been a process of how this game goes. So to see the transfer portal, it does give guys freedom to move around, which is great. But sometimes it becomes, you know, a thing where you're not helping them become mentally tough to stick through a process. It's unfortunate, but you're going to see the numbers go up and the rules keep changing on people going from school to school. Me being at Roosevelt is going to help me. A lot of guys want to drop down and play, you know, just play, get an opportunity to play and be free. So I'm going to be able to recruit a larger amount of talent that's coming from Chicago, that's coming from the Midwest area. So I'm excited about it. But, you know, as the game keeps going along, I like the freedom and I like the opportunity that these young basketball players get to get nowadays.
Great answer.
D, when you talk about the culture that you want at Roosevelt, how much do you pull from your times here? Obviously in the heyday, one of the heydays of Illinois basketball, what that was like, or what does that look like in terms of your past and making that a reality now for Roosevelt?
I was just talking to my assistant about that, man. I won 101 games at Bavazza Weiss. I won 114 at Illinois, went to the NBA, went to the Western Conference Finals, won two European championships. I've been on really, really good teams. And when I played for really good coaches, I took a piece of everything that they had. I never dissected the coach and said, well, I don't like this, I don't like that. I always took what I did like, what was successful in the locker room, what the players liked. I played for some really good coaches, so you'll see a lot of, you know, I say a lot of Weber system, a lot of self out there. I mean, it's a lot of coaches I played for that had some really good things that I took. And it all circled around those two things I told you. It's going to be tough, and we're going to really get after it. We're going to really work. I need tough guys who really going to work and passionate about the game. If you give me those guys, you only can imagine, you know, how hard we're going to play and how much passion we're going to put out on the floor each and every game.
D, obviously here in this area, a lot of people interested in, and I'm curious as well, you talk about what you pulled from Coach Weber, what you pulled from Coach Self. What did you see as the strengths of both those guys? Obviously different in their own respective right. What did you like about Self and Weber and how you decided what to try to take from those guys?
First is, you know, how they recruit. You know, they recruit to their personalities. They blue-collar guys. You know, they're going to work you. They're going to make sure you're detailed and you're going to work. And it's going to be about the team. It ain't going to be about nothing else. It ain't going to be about the outside noise, your parents, this. It's about this. Us in this locker room. It's going to be about the togetherness of the building. And you're going to come with that blue-collar approach. You're going to work hard every single day. And they're going to recruit to their personality. And when you get there, it's going to be their way or the highway. Those guys got, you know, major success in their careers, and they learn from the best. So just to see them and see them still, you know, what people don't know is when you study someone or you play for someone, you want them to do well. But you also know that the good that they do, they can really coach. They can really demand a locker room and, you know, prepare you for, you know, the day in, day out struggles of trying to win a championship.
Obviously, they had their own systems and everything. Did they differ in their style as far as how they coached you guys and how they coached you, those two?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, everybody know that. It's a big difference. I mean, I totally get every coach is different, man. But, you know, both of those guys are very, very good. Man, very good coaches. I'm blessed to be able to – even the assistants we had. I always talk about the assistants because, you know, I look up to Tracy West. You know, Coach McClain was huge in my life. Those guys was really good as well. It's just getting – they was connected to us. They showed me how to be a really good assistant, how to really be connected to the players, and help the head coach be great, you know, put them in a position to, you know, do good things. So definitely got to show love to the assistants as well, who the development piece, the sit-down mentor piece, the getting to know you, and the bad days that you do have, they brighten up your days by, you know, just talking to you, wondering how your family doing it. So, you know, all the little bit of things that I learned, man, in those 4 years playing, even with the players, taught me a lot today that's going to allow me to be a really good coach.
Finishing up with D. Brown, Roosevelt University. Now, I can go back to my buddies at SIU, Marcus Timmons, Chris Carr, Chris Lowry. Then I can go up to, like, T.J. Wheeler, Lucas Johnson. I know all of you guys know how to mimic your coach. How are the guys going to mimic D. Brown? I know that when you were playing, D, you could have given me a perfect Bruce Weber or a perfect Bill Self. How are guys going to do D. Brown, you think?
First, they're going to have, you know, they're going to be in the trenches with the guys. They're going to be sweating every single day, and they're going to be talking to them in a way where, you know, looking you eye to eye and being honest. You know, I like to laugh, I like to have fun, but I'm also serious. So they definitely going to be a lot of jokes, a lot of name calling. You know, I try to keep the name calling down, but I like to keep the fun in the game. You know, just a lot of jokes, man. A lot of attention to detail of just, you know, I talk a lot, so I'll always each possession try to bring that passion, that energy on the court, and I'm animated. You know what I mean? It's all love for the game. You know, sometimes passion can be taken out, taken differently, but for me, each and every day I bring it. I make sure I don't have bad days. You know, I may have some bad moments, but I'm not having no bad days. I love what I do, love basketball. So they're definitely going to be a lot of jokes, a lot of, you know, I'm going to be sweating, I'm going to be limping. You know, I got these bad hips, I'm going to be limping. They're going to be limping a little bit. But we're going to be laughing, we're going to be having some fun, because that's how I learned to come up, is can't take the game too serious, even though it's a serious, it's a seriousness in the game. But, man, we're going to have fun with it, be passionate. And I'm definitely going to, they're going to tell you I'm in the trenches with them every single day.
Hey, man, I always wonder if there's enough time and a timeout for D, because he talks a lot. So I wonder if there's, do you have enough time and a timeout to get what you're wanting to say?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I'm detailed when it comes to. I don't over talk. I make sure I get my point across. I'm more of a player driven call. I want the players to communicate as well. So, you know, I'm kind of different. As you'll see, I'm kind of different when it comes to coaching. But we in practice, that's what work is done. We in practice. We get into games. Guys should know what we're doing. We should be hitting on all cylinders, and we're not just making those adjustments, talking to our team in a way where they understand that, you know, each possession, each time we come together, our communication is big, because one voice, but all of us have to talk and communicate and be together with what we try to do.
My last question, D, I got to ask you about Illinois. And I know, listen, I understand you are developed and not developed. That's not the right word. You are like swallowed up basically with your job at Roosevelt and trying to get your team ready to go this season. So obviously, you can't watch everything that happens, but I know you love Illinois. I know you follow them. When you came in with that class with Raj and Darren and those guys, I mean, you guys were obviously unknown to us, but very well known in terms of recruits coming in. Everybody knew that you guys were special, and then you proved it tenfold by being extra special. What do you think of what Brad's doing down here, and obviously with the recruits he's getting in, Big Ten championship last year, some good stuff happening right now with the Orange and Blue.
Some great stuff happening, man. I thought we got a coach in Brad Underwood. I do like Brad. Always said that publicly. He said behind closed doors, really love that we got our coach. Love his toughness. Love he's an everyday guy. Hired some really, really good assistants who grind hard. I know our program is built on development. That's the similarities of when I came in. That program is, you know, if not the best, one of the best in the country at development. And they tough. You know they got the pieces. They have the players. Now it's about bringing everybody together, because they got a lot of pieces down there.
Sure.
Figuring out their roles. And once they figure out their roles, they everyday guys. I know Fletch is getting them right. I know Tim and Chess getting them guys right, and then Brad on, you know. You got to be tough to play, you know, to go in the oven every single day and play under him. So I'm very excited. I'm a big Illinois guy, man. He got my University of Illinois letterman jacket in the mail the other day. You know what I mean?
It.
So I'm ecstatic to see them pieces come together, and definitely watching and paying attention to what they got going on. And it's going to be an interesting year, and I'm excited to watch it.
Amen.
D, one more follow-up on to Lon's point about you guys coming in. You, Darren, and James played a lot as freshmen. And I want to focus in particularly on you and Darren in that backcourt, guards having the ball in their hands as freshmen. That's something that's going to be expected here in Champaign out of a Sky Clark, out of a Jaden Epps, freshman guys who are highly talented recruits but still freshmen coming in. What was important for you and Darren to succeed in that season, and what maybe advice or what perspective would you give on what that lead up is summer to fall to playing as a freshman in the Big Ten, you know, coming in as a highly touted recruit?
Well, me and Darren had to get our relationship right. You know, we both was competitive dudes. I told him I would play with Darren, but when you get on campus, a lot of things could change. You know, we all competing for minutes, but our relationship became like brothers. First, you got to get that relationship down. You got to get that continuity, but you also got to get that, you know, we in this for the same, you know, for the same reasons. And when I came in, I know my job was to take care of the ball and defend. If
I didn't take care of the ball and understand, there's no way I could have played as a freshman. And then as I, my confidence got started building, I started, you know, being able to make shots. I became one of the guys who, you know, was making shots. But defend and take care of the ball is the biggest thing I say any freshman in the country to get on the court has to do. But under Bill, you definitely had to do that, or, you know, you'll get probably kicked out of practice, turning the ball over too much and or not defending. So we'll see how that goes. You know, with those young guys down there, they got to understand what their role is and what's expected from them, and they got to do it every single day, even the days where they struggle. You know, those days that I struggled, days that Darren struggled. But a guy like James, again, we all came in with the we're going to defend. We're going to make sure we be the hardest working dudes. Ain't nobody going to beat us in no line. You know, someday James will beat me and Darren in a line or two. just the work you put in, taking care of the ball, and for them, your team to depend on you to do that every single day. I like those freshmen. I think they're going to be good. I hope they're competing. I haven't seen them a day to day. I know they're competing, but we competed at a high, high level. Me and Darren, we was never on the same team. We took it as, and then we had to go home and live together. You know what I'm saying? It was we when we stepped between those lines, it was competition. It was, let's rock. Let's go. I'm better than you. Make me better. It was good sparring sessions. And if you look at our assists together, we just took care of the ball. We distributed at a high level, and then we defended.
Is there a lot of one-on-one battle after practice too?
A lot of one-on-ones. We had to end practice with an hour cutthroat. And that's for everybody. And then once everybody caught on to it, that just became the culture. You know what I'm saying? Like we needed that. We needed to guard each other. We needed to get that frustration out. That's how we developed. That's how we became brothers. You know, we had to have those in order for us to push forward with our culture.
D. Brown,
If you're not playing cutthroat after practice, you really not a hooper. You really ain't passionate about it. It's only gonna make you better, because when you go to the Big Ten every single night, the mother school's got really good guards. And as long as y'all competing, as long as y'all on the same page, as long as y'all pushing each other every day, those games and those atmospheres will be easier, a lot easier when you go into those battles.
Man, it is great hearing your voice, D. Brown. I just enjoy.
Man, I appreciate y'all. Man. Yeah, appreciate y'all having me.
Just love having you on, man. So hopefully we'll do it again, maybe during the season, see how things are going up in Roosevelt. But good luck to you. We'll be following along down here, obviously, as you start your head coaching career. D. Brown, Roosevelt University. Really appreciate it, D. We'll talk again, man.
Man, thanks for having me, man. I-O-L.
I-N-I. Good stuff, man. D. Brown,
thanks,
talking
D.
about that. That was awesome. Can you imagine how competitive those guys were? And he talked about, I thought that was interesting when he said, Darren and I had to get right in our relationship. Now, that's not the part I thought was that interesting. I mean, it is interesting, but to me, it already shows you, because you just did a piece maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, on how these freshmen are gelling, not just Sky and Jaden, but throw in Ty, throw in Sincere. All of those guys are gelling. They're all, a lot of them are roommates together. It seems like I don't want to throw the word best friend out there. I don't know about that, but certainly it does feel like those guys really like and respect each other. And I can guarantee you, like, D's not going to lie, right? I bet he was so competitive, and so was Darren, that there was a time where they were like, okay, hold on. I'm not sure this guy's going to be my best friend, but you know what? They gained respect for each other, which then led to them becoming friends. And of course, we all know then what happened after that and how great of a career D was. He even said that in his thoughts about what he did in high school and college and the pros and even overseas. It's just amazing how good that guy was. And, you know, when you go back, and it's funny, when you go back and look, like if you said to me, all right, Kendall Gill, you know, I can picture it in my head. Roger Powell, I can think of a couple of cool plays that he had. Obviously, the play against Louisville when he follows up the three. Just when you throw out those things, it's pretty interesting. When you throw out D. Brown, I mean, there are so many things that come to my mind. How he could run a fast break. How he always knew how to make the extra pass. Maybe not the flashy pass, although he could do that. I just love that he would always be so unselfish, as were a lot of the guys on that team and in that era. But D would always make that extra pass, whether it be underneath to James, whether it be in the corner to Luther. And then D. Brown was a hell of a shooter.
He was.
And that was one thing that when you looked at that team with Darren and Luther and D, I don't know who's the best shooter. Maybe Luther? Maybe D? Maybe Darren? I'd put Darren 3, maybe. I mean, that's the crazy.
Luther probably developed into the best shooter.
I think he did.
Of the three.
But boy, D. Brown just had the all-around game, and not to mention his defense. Didn't he average like 5 rebounds a game? I could be wrong on that. But D. Brown was just a guy that, you know, he would take what? The head of the snake, as they say, right? And I know on that team, I mean, obviously Luther could guard. Luther was the guy that could guard a 6 foot guy or a 6'6 guy, right? I mean, he was probably given the hardest task. He was the Damonte Williams this last season. But D. Brown, man, good luck. You throw him out against one of the best point guards or best shooting guards in the country, and he'd just do his job.
D. Brown as a freshman, as a true freshman, averaged 12 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds a game, and 2 steals.
Unbelievable.
2 steals a game, played 34 minutes.
Wow.
Team high a game.
It's not supposed to be that easy.
No.
It is not supposed to be that easy for a freshman to come in and put up numbers like that. 12, 5, 4, and 2.
And both him and Darren ultimately started on that team.
Mm-hmm.
They were starters as true freshmen, and man, James played quite a bit as well.
How much money would D.
Really
Brown make in
guys.
NIL? Oh. I mean, it'd be $2
million. Yeah.
If it was today, I mean.
Right. Well,
if D was D and that team was that team and it was today.
The conversations about Kofi was $1 million and D would be
double that. I mean, you know, the Sports Illustrated with him popping the Illini, the headband itself, the high socks. He was just a great guy. And it's great that he's doing well. And I'm excited for him in his coaching career. I don't know anything about Roosevelt University. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I do. I think it's the old Robert Morris. So I'm sure it's going to be it's kind of a stepping process now to get back. But I told you before we went on, I'd love to see D. Brown back at Illinois one day. In the basketball program, because I think it just seems like it's too much of a no-brainer to get D. Brown around this university and this program. And hopefully one day all of that can happen again. It'd be awesome.
It'd be great. And you can still hear the passion that he has,
energy,
the competitiveness. It's all still there. And I get a chance to see D. on the road out recruiting and everything. And it's always great catching up with him. And enjoyed you setting up this interview today.
And it was so funny because you're like, D. Brown. I mean, it was just literally out of nowhere. I was like, I'm going to tell you flat out. It was like 3 a.m. in the morning. And I woke up and my mind goes 100 miles an hour. And I'm like, I wonder what we could do today, who we're going to visit with. I said, we've done a lot of football. I'm like, you know who we haven't talked to in a while is D. Brown. And so I got to work and I emailed him and he emailed back and said, let's do it. So awesome stuff. I'm excited to talk to him. You can tell.
We could talk hoops any day.
I know you could have, you asked some unbelievable questions to him, but I know you probably could have gone on for another 20 minutes just on Illinois and the ties and what it would mean, because there's a lot of parallels, we hope.
You hope. I'm glad you threw that in there.
I'm putting a lot of pressure on these kids. I'm sorry to do that. I shouldn't do that. But, you know, there's a lot of parallel. This is funny.
All the way for the easy two.
I was gonna queue up some D. Brown highlights, and I didn't have time. And so now I'm just kind of, while I'm talking to you, it's playing on the YouTube, the old Arizona-Louisville game. Or, I'm sorry, Arizona-Illinois game with like a minute left. And just out of nowhere, I'm like, oh, boy, there's going to be some cool stuff happening here because Arizona's up 78-72 with a minute left. There's no way we win that game. There is no way Illinois wins this game. I still don't know how it happened. Here's the steal.
Don't call the foul, and D. Brown gets 2. Oh, my. 45 seconds left. A three-point game. What
Dick
a
Enberg,
comeback
baby.
By Illinois. Oh, they were down by 15. Oh, my.
Unbelievable. How loud.
You know with under a minute that Illinois is going to be slapping at the ball without worrying about a foul. And
that's
D.
young
Brown
Jay Billis.
Slaps it, Mustafa
Shakur. Did you see the pass Darren did right there? He flipped it backwards. So you know how you do that with your son or your daughter? You'll be out in the driveway, and they'll be like 10 feet from you, and you'll flip the ball to where it spins to them. Darren did that on that play, and D. Brown got the layup. I got to play this.
This is the steal.
Heck yes.
And they do it with time running out. There is Ingram to bat the ball away. Williams could tie it with a three. He does. Oh! Tied at 80, 38 seconds to go. The final seconds to decide the team that advances to the Final Four. Illinois has made up 15 points.
Unbelievable.
Arizona.
Bill Murray losing his mind, you know. And D, look at him. He's over there talking. He's over there talking to the guys exactly like he just described it. Just like he described it. Oh, man.
Still gives me chills, man.
It does. Oh, tied at 80, and then what? Arizona misses the chance to win it. Oh, man. That's incredible. That's just incredible. All right, I got to take a break. I could just sit here and play this all stinking day if we wanted to. Here's D. Hold on. Did they score here? Oh, yeah, the back pass. No, no, no. Luth. Look at the ball movement on this team.
To Williams for three. He tied it. He gives Illinois the lead.
There were seven passes in that play. Okay, tell me to take a break. Hey, I did a little research on Illinois opponents and what they did last year. And you had asked about Bronco Mendenhall. We were right. He's not there anymore at Virginia. It's actually Tony Elliott now. But it is amazing with this Wyoming game coming up how much they lost. You said it the other day, but when you really break it down, it's pretty incredible. We could touch on that. Cardinals play again tonight. Yes.
Hey.
Like, I'm fired up now to watch a Cardinals game. Not that I haven't been, but now it's like we got to keep this thing rolling. All right, 359-2255, 217-359-2255. If you want to weigh in, that is the U of I Atlantic Lake text line. D. Brown joined us on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line, the same number. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can. We'd appreciate it. At The Drive, 93.5. I'm at Lante, ESPN. See you.
I'm at D. Piper, 247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to TayandPiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at StevieJay.com, StevieJay.com. You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
And I'm burying what I shouldn't have been the lead, because D. Brown will always be the lead. But we've got some TV contract talks with the Big Ten that are going on. There's some big money.
Some Illini football recruiting news. It's tough to stomach. But
maybe some good basketball news for Illinois.
You tell me.
Well, we'll get to all that next. I can hold my Illinois football stuff for next hour or next tomorrow or whatever.
I want to hear it.
All right. I did a little research. Now, that usually turns out bad. So maybe we ought to just skip it. It is The Drive.
I love visiting with some of our healthcare professionals at OSF Healthcare and introducing you to some of their team. Dr. Amina Olgan is visiting with me. So when it comes to dealing with high blood pressure, I wanted to hit on that topic today. It's something that kind of can sneak up on people, especially when they're under such stress.
I agree. Unfortunately, it's been known to be called the silent killer just because of how asymptomatic a lot of people are not aware that they have blood pressures elevated. You know, in the U.S., about 116 million people have this diagnosis, and only one in four of them have the conditions under control. So that's why we care so much about the blood pressure. And that's why, you know, every doctor's visit, we always check this to make sure that if it's not controlled, there are ways we can go about treating this condition.
Well, I know if we need more advice, we can go to OSF Healthcare's website and learn about high blood pressure and get great care, osfhealthcare.org.
At Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery, we're flooring people with amazing service, great design advice, and unbeatable selection, and the best prices in town. It's the perfect time to update your home with waterproof flooring, carpet, hardwood, tile, and more. Then complete your rooms by shopping our incredible selection of furniture and accessories. We also offer great financing options. Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery, we're flooring people.
Heading back to school? At Merle Norman, we know you want to look your best for what's ahead. So how about some fabulous new makeup? Whether you're going to a football game, dance, or first date, you'll be totally on trend with the hottest shades for eyes, cheeks, and lips. From earthy neutrals to bold brights, we'll help you create looks to match every new outfit. Show off your wild side, go glam, or keep it sweet and simple with a free express makeover. Visit Merle Norman at 706 West Market View Drive in Champaign over by Subway.
Need a little good news in your life? State Farm has new lower car insurance rates in Illinois, so you can now get the service and convenience of State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow at an even better price. That's right. State Farm can help you save more cash and get the good neighbor service you deserve. It's the real deal for car insurance. State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is ready to help you save in Champaign-Urbana. Call Kurt today at 352-1411. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
PDR Automotive in Urbana is a locally owned repair shop, and they've now serviced over 250,000 vehicles in their near 50-year history. Now, that's more than four times the size of a sold-out Memorial Stadium. It's more than all Division I athletes in the country combined. That's more than the entire population of Champaign County. That's more than, well, you get the idea. When you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Have you been to the Long Branch Steakhouse? The Long Branch Steakhouse happens to be a family-owned restaurant in the small town of Gifford that just happens to serve up incredible steaks. We're talking fresh, hand-cut steaks served to perfection. So if your fantasy is to have a great meal in a great family restaurant in a great small community, visit the Long Branch Steakhouse. Oh, and don't forget to ask for the frog dressing, the Brussels sprouts, and the incredible macaroni and cheese. The Long Branch Steakhouse, located in beautiful downtown Gifford.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
All right, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lon Tay, Derek Piper to my left, Isaac Ambrose to my right. Do you want to start with the good or the bad news? I'll let you decide, Derek Piper.
Let's stick with the good.
We're on a roll.
Yeah, we're on a roll. Got some good vibes going.
So there was a crystal ball put out for Illini basketball, not your crystal ball. And that's the one that I pay the most attention to.
Oh, thank you.
Obviously, because your ties with the program are extremely close. And I take them, not that I don't even know who did it, but I just saw that there was a crystal ball placed out for Imani Hansberry coming to Illinois. Now, obviously, you have followed him as closely as anyone. You've been to most of the AAU tournaments, what, Peach Jam? There were others that you've been to,
yep.
And you have always said and told us and your readers, et cetera, on Illini Inquirer, of how involved the Illinois coaches are with him. Brad Underwood's made most of the games. Tim Anderson's always there. Chester Frazier's always there. Jeff Alexander, a lot of times at different tournaments overseas, he's living it up, you know, in Greece. But obviously, Imani Hansberry in 23 is a guy that Illinois is solely focused on. And I guess it's good news to hear a little bit of a crystal ball pick in his favor, but how do you feel? How are you feeling as we go along still with Hansberry?
Probably about a month away from a decision.
Okay.
He said in an article today on 24/7 Sports, it's not a premium one, so I can divulge in some of those details, that he's considering whether to take one more official visit, that being to Auburn. So he has a final five of Illinois, Penn State, Virginia Tech, Auburn, and who's the other one?
I should
Miami.
Miami was his, that's right.
His most recent
visit. I think he just wanted to go down and see Miami.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Right. I'm with you. It's my Hawaii thing. I right? mean, it's, yeah, it makes sense.
So he was just at Miami about a week to 10 days ago, and might go to Auburn. I think that visit, as I'm knocking the mic around.
Like you literally punched yourself
is
in the
very,
face.
That visit's very much up in the air, and as the mic punches me in the face, if Hansberry somehow ends up at Auburn, that would be a huge punch in the face from Bruce Pearl to Illini fans.
I don't think
it's going to happen. Okay. I think that Auburn is fifth because of how late they got involved, and relationships certainly matter to Imani.
He's
had some longstanding ones in this recruitment. So it's very notable that Illinois did pick up a crystal ball, and being who it's from, a guy that is from the East Coast and works for Prep Hoops Maryland and also the Maryland Terrapin site on 24/7 Sports. So he had a pick in for Penn State, then flipped it to Illinois.
Mm.
And I get it. I think that Illinois is in a very good position. I don't think it's done. I don't think this recruitment is over. I think that Hansberry is taking his time intentionally to make sure he's making the right choice. And there are some teams that have done really good jobs recruiting him. Illinois obviously has pressed the gas really, really hard for the last couple of months. Chester's relationship has paid big dividends, and Brad's been very involved as well. So I think if you're going to highlight one thing that Illinois has a challenge with is immediate playing time, because Dane Danger will still be in the fold. Zachary Perrine, adding him this summer, adds another guy who's probably going to play the five, maybe a little bit of four, but probably mostly the five. And then Coleman Hawkins, while we think that he could go to the NBA after this year, it's not a foregone conclusion.
Sure.
He could end up coming back. So I would imagine that you've kind of reached the window where certain teams have already done enough as they can as far as their own cell. They start poking holes in other teams' cells. Like, are you really going to play enough at Illinois or Penn State? When's the last time they've been to the tournament? Like, those type of things are starting to be brought up. I think Illinois is in a strong spot, but they still have to close. It's interesting to try to figure out who the number two team is, whether that be Penn State, whether Miami made a big enough push to be that team. I don't know for sure.
It's useless to do this, but when you look ahead to next season, really the only guy that you're supposed to lose is Matthew Meyer. He's the senior. Terrence Shannon could come back another season. Coleman Hawkins could come back another season. But we understand that there's the NBA draft and early looks at next year's draft have Coleman Hawkins actually being selected. So that would tell you, and also Terrence Shannon. So that would tell you that those guys may opt to just go ahead and try their luck in that. Then we have the transfer portal, and we know how that's just completely opening things up now to where it's nearly impossible to get everybody back. And like Tyler Underwood told us a month ago, you basically treat your college team like an NBA team now. You just figure you're going to lose a couple like you would in free agency, and you're going to gain a couple like you would in free agency in the NBA. And so it's just crazy, and it's foolish to even say this, but as it stands, you're only replacing one guy, but the chances of it being two or three are probably better. So my question to you is this: knowing that you probably only have to maybe bring in one, let's say two guys, did Illinois get a break in terms of, and I'm not saying Hansberry is not a kid that would be good in any class, but did Illinois catch a little bit of a break that this 23 class is maybe not as strong, especially at the needs they have, and it was a good time, if you will? Because in the past, I've complained like, oh, great, we got one scholarship, and it's 900 guys in the state of Illinois that are good. Did Illinois catch a break this year with that?
Maybe a little bit. I think the consensus opinion, not only locally, but also at the national level, is that the 23 class is down. And with Illinois taking a number of freshmen, you got four from the high school scene last year in 2022, plus Zachary Perrine, you got five true freshmen coming in, and then a couple additions via the transfer portal. You didn't have a whole lot of needs in terms of having a bunch of spots come open. Now, like you said, I think Terrence Shannon's going to go pro after this year, and hopefully he shows enough to go to the NBA. He's been on NBA radars and everything.
Sure.
If he has a very good season, he'll probably be a second-round draft pick. Coleman Hawkins has shown that he's got the prototype of a new-age big man forward type, stretch four at the pro level. So I could totally see him making the jump as well. And then every year you're going to have someone who doesn't get the playing time they want.
Right.
And that would probably be another instance of a spot coming available, I would imagine. But I think that with what Illinois showed in getting Meyer and Shannon and just a number of proven options that come available in the portal, you're not going to go all out, especially in what's considered a weak 2023 class, to say, oh, we're going to sign three freshmen and then, see what's open in the portal. Yeah, they've, they're going to push all out for Hansberry. I think right now he's the only guy in 2023 that they would go all out for. Now, there are some other things that could have broken different ways as far as guys they were recruiting that it would have, you know, Xavier Booker, who's a top 10 prospect and a big man and someone that they initially recruited, but he just committed to Michigan State. Devin Royal was a guy that is a top 100 out of Ohio who just committed to Ohio State. If Illinois had more legit shots at them, they would have been making more those guys. But one of the things that's made it hard for Illinois to get involved with so many guys is there aren't many natural openings on your roster. So the easy counter for some of these other teams is, are you going to play?
Are they even going to have a spot for
you? Yeah, I mean, are you going to go there and be able to make an immediate impact? And I know that Brad, with the way of the transfer portal, is starting to, in his head, say, we got to make sure that the guys that we're recruiting in high school can help us right away.
Yep.
Because, one, we can get some really good players in the portal. Two, if we get guys who can't help us right away, they're not going to play, then they're probably going to want to leave.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. It's a dangerous time right now, and, of course, you're on the cusp here of watching guys, all these freshmen like Sky Clark, et cetera, Jaden Epps, and it's like, are there enough minutes for these guys? And it will be interesting to watch. And again, I don't mean that it was boring the last couple of years. It wasn't. It was great winning Big Ten titles, but it was almost like it was the known. You knew how good this Illinois team was going to be the last couple of years. And it was fun to watch them go out and dominate with Io and Kofi and Trent, et cetera. So you just kind of knew what they were. So now I assume this team's going to be good. I think Brad and the coaching staff love this team, but there's so much unknown. I've never watched Jaden Epps in person. I've never watched more than a minute of Jaden Epps. So I'm excited to see that. Sky Clark, same. Ty Rogers, same. And so you go down the list, and you know, Matthew Meyer I've watched a lot of, but not on my team. Terrence Shannon right. Jr., I actually haven't watched a lot of. I never watched Texas Tech games. So, and again, even when I did, he's now on my team. So I'm going to look at him different as you go along. And then, of course, Luke Goody, RJ Melendez, guys that you have a feeling you know what they can do, and there'll be roles for each one of those guys, and how do they live up to those roles? So, I don't know. It just sounds like a good group. They're getting to the gym at 4:30 in the morning. Is that right? Am I seeing that?
I'm sure. I've heard that Terrence gets there pretty early. I didn't hear 4:30.
No, maybe it's not that early.
I'm not denying it. If that's out there, I don't know.
Well, if that's the case, that's pretty stinking impressive.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. By the way, I don't know if you saw this. We had mentioned Bill Murray in that clip for Illinois, and then Hans D texts because, you know, he feels like he's that important, which he knows he is. So, and his text says, coincidentally, my uncle, who looks like he's a pilot. I didn't realize this. Hans holding out on us. Coincidentally, my uncle met Bill Murray over the weekend at the airport. So there you go. Probably would have rather met Hans. Bill would have rather met Hans, I bet. Nothing against Hans' uncle. Probably a good guy. All right, now, on the bad news side of things for Illinois football, probably, maybe, their most impactful recruit for next season on that defensive line, and I say that because...
Oh, definitely on the defensive line.
They need defensive linemen. They don't have many at all. Now, this year, they'll be okay. But if a couple of those, if Newton goes on to the professional ranks, I mean, you're going to lose Calvin Avery if we hope that he can be your nose guard. You're going to lose guys like that.
Keith Randolph.
Now, I think Randolph and Newton can come back, right?
They have more eligibility, but they're considered.
Yeah. Oh, Randolph actually is the one that's really considered, I think, to be a pro.
Right.
Newton and Avery would be the guys that have work to do, I would assume, but yet they can still
Avery
do
has
it.
A lot of work to do.
A lot of work, I agree. And Vertus Brown. But it's a position of need, and you thought that you nailed it with one of your recruits from Lexington, Kentucky, but then today, bad news for Illinois.
Yeah, Jamarian Harkless decided to decommit, and a guy that was a big feather in your cap type of recruitment, in that he had offers from Georgia and LSU and Michigan. And, well, I don't know how much those teams were pursuing him or how hard they were pursuing him. Illinois was able to get him on board and felt like he was obviously a no-doubt Power 5 type of player, but someone that has pretty high upside to get those caliber of offers. So there was certainly a fear, I think, for fans – about whether you could hold on to him and that you'd have to have a pretty good season to keep Illinois having the appeal to make him stick with that. And in football recruiting, there is a lot more of the flips.
Yes, there are.
And even though a player's committed to a certain program, other programs are taking the Calvin Sampson approach and still hitting you up and still asking you to come visit and that whole kind of deal. So a big loss, and it's disappointing that now Illinois, as far as their recruiting, I know we talked about it in recent weeks and even the last couple of months. They've missed on some guys that they've been targeting to, you know, Wisconsin.
Malik Elzey. And
Elzey goes to Cincinnati.
Yep.
And this is a class that's currently 13th in the Big Ten.
Mm.
And not really in the spot that you'd want to be, especially, I mean, Northwestern has like a top 40 caliber class nationally, and they're like top five in the Big Ten. And some of those other teams that you want to be able to jump over are recruiting a lot better than you at this point in time.
Are you giving Brett and this staff the benefit of the doubt this year to where next year would be you've really laid the groundwork down with guys in your third year? That's probably not fair. I think I, as much as I gave Lovey crap, and early on he really nailed it with his first recruiting class, and he had some guys obviously sprinkled in there, guys you'll see this season, but I felt like I gave Lovey a little bit of leeway until like year three. That's where I feel like year three, these kids would be sophomores that you would have started recruiting when you first got here. So I feel like I may give Bielma a little bit. I don't know that he'll ever be top three in the Big Ten recruiting, right? I mean, that's not going to happen probably. Probably never going to happen for Illinois. But I don't know why he couldn't be eighth, seventh,
yeah, you would
sixth,
hope you
like
be
right in there. And I understand that, you know, that's always been the kind of the thing about Bielma is that he took guys at Wisconsin that maybe weren't recruited or weren't like four or five-star guys, and he turned them into winners. And maybe he can still do that, but certainly I'd rather him just do it with three or four four-stars. Although,
I agree.
We went over the four-stars yesterday. Marquez Beeson.
The ones that Lovey recruited.
Yeah, Marquez Beeson, not his fault, got hurt, never really mattered to Illinois, if you will. I don't mean to say it like that, but never really produced. Never produced. Vertus Brown, we're still waiting. Calvin Avery. We're still waiting, and he could be big this year.
Shimon Cooper was kind of in that same range.
Shimon Cooper, who
Isaiah Williams is the one that, while it didn't work at quarterback, it's worked at wide receiver.
So there were certainly some guys that were, you know, felt to be pretty strong in terms of recruiting, and they didn't really pan out at Illinois. So
I think you would have hoped that this class, giving a full calendar year to recruit them, there'd be a noticeable step forward.
Okay,
but I would understand still having some patience,
okay,
especially because, like you said, Bielma in his history has coached up the talent that he's had and elevated them, and we got to see if that's going to be the case here as well.
I like it. All right, buddy, good first hour, plenty to do second hour. We can talk a little Cardinals, but there's one network that is not meshing with the Big Ten right now, one television network, and they are cutting ties. It's a pretty big thing considering they've been with the Big Ten for a long time. We'll talk about that next. It is The Drum.
When it's time for an adventure on the open highway, one quick call to American Family Insurance gets you headed in the right direction. Our travel peace of mind package is there if you encounter a bump in the road. From roadside assistance to rental car coverage, we have you covered. Find a local agent or get a quote at amfam.com.
American Family Insurance.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hi, this is Chris Jackson with Kramer Siding and Window. And whatever your project, you can count on Kramer Siding to offer you the best products backed by the best warranties in the business and a lifetime of great customer service. And right now, you can save 10% on roofing, sunrooms, and decks, get 15% off gutter helmet, and you can save 25% on preservation siding, windows, and doors. So call today or visit us at KramerSiding.com and let's get started on your project.
Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure, I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Mattis Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855.
PDR Automotive in Urbana is a locally owned repair shop, and they've now serviced over 250,000 vehicles in their near 50-year history. Now, that's more than four times the size of a sold-out Memorial Stadium. It's more than all Division I athletes in the country combined. That's more than the entire population of Champaign County. That's more than, well, you get the idea. When you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign, Urbana.